this here is Likey Lie, or Likey Lay, or Licky Lee, or, well, take your pick. With a track called Little Bit, what a great song that is. And some great remixes of that song out as well. Right, well, it is time for Mr. Selwyn Manning and Counterclockwise, so it just needs me to push this button.
Oh, here he comes! Hey. Minister!
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 How are you? Minister! How's your wife?
Answer the question, Minister!
Counterclockwise, thanks to scoop.co.nz.
Hi, Selwyn.
Yeah, hi, John. How are things?
I'm good, and you?
Very good, thank you.
It's my birthday today, Selwyn, and I wanted to share it with you.
Oh, happy birthday, Tom. Or should I call you Jonathan?
Yeah, you can call me John, Jonathan, I don't mind. We're all friends here. And I just wanted to, you know, let the world know, because I don't get many presents.
Well, just think of the nice, shining, you know, summer skies that you'd be having if you were back home, and think of the miserable kind of cold weather that you're getting here, and perhaps there's...
Yeah, no, I'm happy here. I'm happy here. I'll take the cold and the grey for the extended summers. Hey, so what have you got for us this week? We're talking polls, I take it.
Yeah, no, what I was going to do is just reflect on the polls that came out yesterday relating to the preferred party, obviously the National Party, and actually look at, you know, whether or not the Labour Party is actually making the most of the concerns that the public has. And I'd suggest and argue that its strategists are really missing the mark on some significant policies impact the national government policies on the population out there.
And so... How do you think that they can, these strategists can meet this issue head on?
Yeah, well, in the first instance, I suppose it should just recap for those who didn't get it. There was a Fairfax poll that came out. It asked people, you know, what's the preferred party if you were voting today? What would you tick as the preferred party to actually govern New Zealand? 56% said National, 29% said Labour, only 6% said Greens. And I'd say that the Greens are a little bit edgy on that one, because they don't have an electorate seat to kind of make sure that, you know, they've got it like an insurance policy to get over that 5% line. So 6 is pretty lean there. ACT on 2, New Zealand First on 2, Māori Party, United Future, Mana Party, Progressive, and everything else all around the 1 or just below it. Now, with that thing, we also saw that John Key, the Prime Minister, sitting on around 60% support. So those polls, 60% of them said, yep, John Key's our man, he's a good one, that's the one we want, he's the guy we want to be our Prime Minister. Only 6% wanted Phil Goff to actually be the Prime Minister. Now, that's significant. Even if you look at those who want the Labour Party in, 29%, and that's a miserable poll for those who subscribe to Labour politics, only 6% wanted Phil Goff as the leader. What kind of signal does that give to a party? Well, you know, but the most interesting and significant part of the poll, the Fairfax poll, in my view, was this part where they asked everybody that they were polling. It was over 1,000 people, and it asked them what issues are driving your decision when you vote. Now, head and tails above most things there is this issue where most people said the state of hospitals and education in New Zealand. Yeah. Now, you know, 60% said that was a main concern of what they would be considering when they're choosing how to vote. Now, one could argue that really hospitals and education, you know, that is ripe Labour Party turf, if you like. You know, it has made a history on making sure that this country has public education open to everybody and public hospitals that are there to, you know, address the acute needs and elective surgery needs or chronic needs of its population. It's a perfect kind of policy that you would expect a Labour Party and its strategists to actually milk, particularly when we've got situations now where, despite the efforts in the public grandstand of the National Party Minister of Health, Tony Ryles, saying that everything is going, you know, well and honky-dory and all of this type of thing, and he released in the last 2 days a number of different policies in the health area to make sure that the health area is actually performing in its best, you know, possible way.
Yeah.
What we know on the ground is, like in Auckland, at Auckland Hospital, you know, there's this dreadful situation, John, where, you know, it takes... five nurses on a ward to leave before only one is allowed to actually be replaced. This is the kind of thing that you would expect the Labor Party and its strategists, its policy analysts, to actually know about, and if it knew about it, to actually do something about making it known to the public.
So, just before you go on, so what you're saying is one person, they won't employ someone in a specific area unless five people have left, and then they only employ one.
Absolutely.
What happens if 10 people leave? Then you won't, and then you're 8 people down.
Well, you
it's
probably
mental.
Have Tony Ryle smiling because he's saving a little bit of coin. The worst thing is about this whole situation is this ghastly kind of idea where they've sown rhetoric into the public's mind. The National Party has done this, and saying that what they're doing is getting rid of, you know, administrators and all of that type of thing, clerical workers, so that there's more money for nurses and doctors. Well, that's just nonsense. You know, if you look at Auckland Hospital, and I'm focusing on that, that's just not the case at all. You know, what is happening there with the administration and clerical workers is a situation where they are no longer in numbers, where they can actually ensure that nurses, for example, are actually doing their jobs on the wards.
Yeah.
What we're seeing is nurses in some areas of Auckland Hospital actually having to do clerical work, like ACC kind of forms and applications and all of that type of thing, instead of a clerical worker doing it for them. And so you're getting a sizable amount of time that would normally be spent on the ward with a nurse, actually sitting at a desk doing paperwork. And that's stuff that we saw in the 1990s that helped get rid of the National Party when it was going down that track.
Yeah.
It's frustrating in a sense that, you know, you see the Labor Party complaining and moaning and saying, well, we're not hearing, you know, it on the ground that people want to get rid of us or they don't like us. We're hearing a lot of things, you know, saying, you know, we need your help. But what you'd suggest here was, you know, instead of, you know, just having a focus on one leader, focused on the economy, that they should broaden their base. You know, if their strategists ever listen to ordinary people out there, they should listen to these messages and say, start to actually advance, you know, an appreciation for what is happening in the hospitals and education. This poll, as we lead off on, it is actually suggesting that is the biggest concern of the population of, you know, the people that were polled. It's the biggest concern, it's the biggest tipping point that would tip them over to vote for a party if it thinks, you know, that's a concern from the government, that the government's not delivering in that area.
So really what Labour need to do is get some people on this and highlight this issue. I mean, I've got to say, I'm still kind of stunned by this hiring system. It's just, how do they justify that?
Well, you know, it's kept under the wraps, isn't it? You know, like, there's this policy amongst all the hospitals around the country when nobody can talk to the media. You know, forget the whistleblower laws that we saw develop in the 1990s. No one is allowed to talk to the media. You can't even, as a journalist, get on site without the media minder actually stifling and censoring your information while you go around doing your job. Mm. You know, this is the whole thing. It's like, you know, people used to say it was Helengrad in the 2000s when Labor was in power. Mm. You know, I don't know what you'd define this as. This is something that actually prevents the democracy from functioning in a proper manner. You know, if the public are going to be informed properly, for example, so that they have an informed vote and actually cast their vote in November in a way that they mean to, then they've got to know all of this detail. And when you've got the hospitals shutting the gates on journalists from doing their jobs, and also mainstream media not having specialist health reporters anymore, there's a big chunk of people who are not getting the message that things are going awry. And then you've got, you know, the Minister of Health actually taking advantages of this situation in a sense and actually saying, oh, this is great, you know, we've got more money for actually frontline healthcare. Mm. What a lot of nonsense.
It's all very well having lots of money, but if you've not got the people with the skills in the positions because you got rid of them all, well, what good's that going to do? It's great to have a defibrillator, but if you've got no one who's qualified to use it, you're up Shit's Creek.
If the listeners, John, want to kind of see what we're referring to in the raw data here, if they go into Google and they Google, stuff.co.nz, and remember, I'm from Scoop, so it's not easy to say stuff.co.nz on here, but if they go to that and they type in Labour not fazed by dismal poll result, then they'll come up with a story there from Tracy Watkins that really does a good job of putting a graphic out there of every piece where the poll shows concerns by the electorate. And it shows it really clearly. So you can see right out the front, like we talked about, hospitals and education being the major concern that would cause them to, you know, which way they'd vote. You've got the fruit and vegetables cost of living right out there in front. You know, it's kind of in second place. Mm. And Labor's kind of made a move on that with its GST off fruit and vegetables. Yeah. But still, you know, the cost of living there. You also got law and order, which is really, you know, while Labor was hard on law and order, it is really a bastion of National Party there. And you've got, you know, then state of our economy, which Labor has been concentrating on two of those four areas. And I'd suggest that the ones right out in front, if Labor was trying to actually do something to win this election, it should have its health spokespersons and its health kind of policy development teams milking the hospitals for the problems that are starting to show now.
Yeah. Well, I love talking to you, Selwyn, and I'm always sad to end the call, but I'm afraid we're out of time again. But fantastic insight that, and I hope some of the people from Labour were listening, because no one likes a one horse race, I guess.
Yeah, one horse races are pretty boring, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, pretty much.
To have a few contenders in this race.
Yeah, and it doesn't either help when you get certain polls in papers, and then the paper saying, "Oh, there's no point voting for the other guy."
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a bit of an outing, isn't it, going and casting your vote and kind of turning around and thinking, right, I'm the one who actually employs these people collectively with everyone else.
That's right. Well, look, Selwyn, have a fantastic week, and I will speak to you next Thursday.
Take care.
See you, mate.